Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You can remain standing right now. Don't take your seats. In your home, I want you to stand. And as you've received that fresh fire, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power. The Greek word is the word dunamis, which is supernatural ability, dynamic ability. You are energized for exploits. Someone put that in the chat right now in the comment section. I am energized for exploits. You've been supernaturally empowered for divine exploits. It is not by coincidence that God has placed you here, that God has called you here. God has called you for such a time as this. He has appointed you to be a vessel of change, to be a vessel. Hallelujah. I'm running out of words. A vessel of change, a blessing to your generation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A vessel, blessing, blessing vessel. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You are a blessing to your generation. I want you to declare that right now in your homes and in this place. I am a blessing to my generation. I'm not convinced. I am a blessing to my generation. You weren't born in this hour by mistake. You weren't born in this hour by coincidence. You were born in this hour for divine exploits. You see, Daniel chapter 11, you can comfortably take your seats right now. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. It says this. The latter part of that text is so beautiful. It says, but the people who know their God. It doesn't say the people who know about their God. It doesn't say the people that knew about their God. It says the people that know their God. Are there any people here today that are watching even in this place that know their God? If you know your God, I want you to lift up a shout right now to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I've gotten to this place in my life where either I believe the Bible and I expect it to work, or I don't believe it at all. You see, in this hour, as Shante has rightfully said, that God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God made the Word flesh in Jesus. So Jesus was the Word made flesh. You see, if you want to know more about who you are in Christ, you need to get into the Word. I've titled the message tonight, You've Already Got It. Everybody say it right now. I've already got it. I've already got it. You've already got it. Watching right now. As a Holy Ghost, fire-filled believer, you've already got it. You know, this weekend right here in South Africa, a law was passed or was attempted to be passed that we celebrate Ancestor Weekend. Do you understand that the level of wickedness that is on the rise in this hour is simply because righteous people, you and I, are not doing anything about it? But I tell you, there's a new generation, and that new generation in this place, that new generation watching all around the nations of the world, there's a new generation of young people rising up that are going to say, no, we're not going to worship ancestors. We're going to worship the living God who's still alive and well and seated at the right hand of the Father. You can't serve a living God and live a dead life. Let me say that again. You can't serve the living God and live a dead life. Your life should be marked by signs and wonders. You know, the other day, Niall shared a testimony, and I shared this a few weeks back when we preached, 2 weeks ago, that someone who was 20 meters away from this building, this great facility, the Great Faith Dome, had never heard about Jesus. It convicted me because every single day, every hour of the day that I'm out of this building and I encounter the world, we encounter people who don't know Jesus. Perhaps this week you encountered someone. You encountered someone who doesn't know Jesus and you did absolutely nothing about it. I'm here to tell you today that that changes from tonight onwards in Jesus' mighty name. You will leave this place and you will testify. You will speak of the goodness, of the faithfulness of God. But you say, Jade, if I've already got it, how do I live in that reality? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, there are three things that I want to give you today. And I want you to write these down. Three keys. Three keys. Just three. You can't lose these. If it's not on paper, it's vapor. Three requirements is this. The first one. And this one, we live in a society today where it's all about the vibe. You see, we are called to be attached to the vine and not bound by the vibe. In this hour, there's just vibe everywhere. I mean, I'm living for the vibe. I'm living for the vibe. I'm living for the vibe. Let me tell you, the vibe will send you straight to hell. But when you remain attached to God and you say, Lord, I choose to remain attached to the vine, I tell you, you will always produce fruit when everybody else is not producing. When everybody else is not flourishing, you will always produce fruit. The first requirement is this: reverential fear of God. Write that down. The fear of God. Reverential fear of God. And it's not this fear that, you know what, God's going to take my life if I just step out of line. You know, if I just make one mistake, God's about to take me out. No. It's you saying, Lord, I honor you. I choose to serve you above how I feel, above what I see, in spite of what people are saying about me. I choose to honor you. I fear you, Lord. It's the reverential fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. You see, Psalm 112 verse 1 says this: praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. You may be wondering right now why there's no blessing in your life. Why it feels like there's just a curse associated with my life. Why everything I do, everything I pursue seems to fail. Have you been fearing God? Have you lost the fear of God? Do you truly fear God? Do you truly fear God? Even in this place today, do you truly fear God? Because if you did, that fear, the Bible says that perfect love cast out all fear. That fear that we're talking about is a reverential fear that is fundamentally undergirded by love. You see, if you don't fear God, you'll always fear man. And a man who is intimate with God is not intimidated by man. You refuse to be intimidated. The second key, I want you to write this down. And it's very interesting now because you touched on this during the week. It's commitment. Commitment to God. Everybody say commitment. Say it like you mean it. Commitment. It's commitment. If you've ever been in a relationship, you're committed. For those of you who are married right now, I'm committed to my wife. I'm not single. I'm committed. You've ever done something, you're committed in that relationship. You see, an undying commitment to God will always result in an undying commitment from God on your behalf. See, wherever you go, whatever you do, when you're committed to God, the Bible says that He will make level every single path. But there's a prerequisite. It's you saying, Lord, I'm committed to you. I'm choosing to live in your way. I'm choosing to do your will. And as you do so, you make level every single path. Shantae said it. Shantae said it so nicely. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. That we have all things by His divine power. By His divine power. When you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, by His divine power, that dunamis ability has given us all things, not some things, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. You have all things. But again, whether you choose to experience and live in that reality is up to you. Nobody else can do that for you. Nobody else can search the scriptures. Nobody else can open the word for you. It's an undying commitment to His word. And number three, is intimacy. Intimacy. Intimacy with the Most High God. You see, Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, and he says, that I may know him. There's that word knowing again. Again, it's not about knowing about God. It's not about knowing about all the great things he has done. It's knowing him. You know, Paul writes this from such a deep place because think about this. Having experienced shipwreck, having experienced stoning, having experienced scourging, being locked in the innermost dungeon, he had every reason to give up. And today, we may not know the pressures you may be facing. All sorts of pressure. Debt, sickness, generational curses, whatever it may be. Let me tell you, in the presence of God, where the enemy thought he could keep you bound, where he thought he could keep you locked up, today that changes and your story changes from henceforth in Jesus' name. If you receive that, I want you to give Jesus the biggest shout of praise. Hallelujah. Paul writes and he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. You've already got a child of God. You've already got it. You've got all things that pertain to life and godliness. But it's up to you to live in that reality. As you get your communion elements ready at home and in this place, I want you to live in that reality, to cultivate that reality by spending intimate moments with God. You see, Acts chapter 4, I always go there because it's so dear to me. Peter and John heal a lame man. And it's very interesting that, yes, you may say, but the religious folk of that day knew Peter and John. They knew that they had spent time with Jesus. It's very interesting that the scripture in Acts chapter 4, and you can read this at a later stage, says that they marveled because they saw that Peter and John were ordinary men. But what's beautiful is this, is that they marveled at the fact that Peter and John had been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? How intimate have you been with him? How connected are you with him? Where is your heart today? See, man can see what you do, but God looks at the heart. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. The condition of your heart in this hour. See, you've got everything. You've got it all. God has given it to you all. He's given all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him to you as a child of God. He's given it all to you. But to experience and to live in that reality comes back to the foundation of intimacy.